Welcome to the Brian Thomas Podcast. In today's podcast, I speak to Gucci Westman, founder of Westman Atelier. For more than 20 years, Gucci has been one of the most in-demand editorial makeup artists, creating her signature dewy, natural looks for celebrities like Jennifer Aniston, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Reese Witherspoon, for the world's most notable publications like Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. In 2018, together with her husband David, Gucci launched her beautiful, ethical, and luxurious makeup brand, Westman Atelier. In today's podcast, I catch up with Gucci to discuss how she started her career in beauty, working on music videos and commercials, her vision when creating her own luxury beauty brand, and how life has really changed since the launch. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brian Thomas Podcast. Gucci, welcome to the Brian Thomas Podcast. It's lovely to have you.
Oh, thank you so much, Louise. I'm so happy to be speaking to you today. And I can't wait to go to Brian Thomas in person.
And well, we can't wait to see you in Brian Thomas, because there is quite a buzz in beauty now that Westman Atelier has launched online for Brian Thomas. But before this, and before the brand, before the beautiful products, Gucci, you carved a career that is of the most respected and celebrated in the industry. So let's talk about that. Well, actually, let's go back to the beginning and tell me how you got into the beauty industry.
Well, I think I would probably say that when I turned 18, I found this advertisement in the newspaper in Sweden, the local newspaper looking for an au pair in Switzerland. And it advertised that there were horses that you would be able to ride if you accepted the position. So I applied and I got the job. So the day after I graduated school, I took a year off and I took the train through Hamburg to Switzerland, and I worked with this family, the Ortliebs, and it was in the French-speaking part of Neuchâtel. And she actually was really influential on my decision to become a makeup artist, because she was a fashion journalist, and she got sent boxes and boxes of makeup all the time, and she didn't wear any makeup, so she would just give them to me. Because her children were too young. She had two young children at the time. And so she would just give them to me. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. So I would get these big boxes of, Lancome and Chanel and Dior. And I was like, oh my gosh, how could this be happening? I'm so lucky. And she would always bring me back to the horses. She would always bring me to the barn. And she would always say, tomorrow I'll let you ride. And she never once let me ride.
Really? And that was why you went there in the first place?
Yeah. But, it was a great experience. And she ignited this love for makeup. And I always actually loved artistry and makeup. And I somehow was commissioned to do all of my friends' makeup on the bus on the way to school, because we lived in the country. And so that was always kind of my calling, I think. But she really sort of accelerated everything. By just bringing me to fashion shows in Paris and introducing me to all of these luxury brands. I think I really was.
And was there always a spark in you that thought beauty and makeup artistry could possibly become a career?
I actually wanted to be a professional horse rider or a translator. That's what I thought I would do. And then I was always very good at painting. And then I sort of just applied that to painting people's faces. And I really liked it. And I also really loved when they would look at themselves in the mirror when we were finished and how happy they would get. I really felt that that was such a rewarding moment. So I didn't actually see that as my future until after my year in Switzerland.
And she was one of a couple of people who you have cited as, influential in the changes that were sparked in your career by meeting them. Like Spike Jonze was another person, and Annie Leibovitz, and these amazing names really had quite a big impact on you. Tell me about Spike Jonze and starting in movies.
Yeah. So I ended up, when I was 23 years old, I went to a wonderful makeup school in Paris called École de Chavaux. And it was really great. It was supposed to be a year, but after 3 months, I felt that I sort of got everything I needed. And then I wanted to learn about cinema makeup, you know, special effects and things like that. So a girl in my class said that there's a school in Hollywood called Joe Blasco. You should go to that school. So fast forward, I end up going to this school that was actually not good at all. It was terrible. It was all kind of video teaching. And they asked me if I wanted to work there after 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I thought, how am I qualified to do that? You know? So that wasn't, you know, a great education, but it was, you know, I just felt like after finishing that course, I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's so confusing. And how does one begin to actually apply their skill to the real world? I was hungry and happy to do anything. Payment wasn't, you know, my focus. It was more about the experience and the time in the saddle, as you say, you know. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine who was a stylist, Casey Storm, he said, you have to meet my friend Spike. I think that you would get along. And so he arranged a meeting with Spike Jones. And I sat there with him in a room, and he basically just said not much the entire time. And I was nervously talking. And next thing I knew, I was hired to do a Levi's commercial, then Nike commercial. And then I kind of was just his makeup artist for many, many years. And we went on to do Being John Malkovich and many iconic music videos and commercials. And it was just a really great experience and a great team. And, you know, it was a lot of that experience, I think, carved the cadence of how it happened. You know, it carved out my love for character, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, I met various photographers who obviously gave me this chance to work with them. And then, you know, it's all word of mouth, I think, at a time. And there's so many talented people, and you only get so many opportunities to shine, but then you have to have all of the stars align. You have to have, the timing has to be right. You have to have, you know, you have to be on your best game that day. You can't possibly afford to have a bad day. There's so many factors that play into a successful kind of introduction. And then, you know, I met Grace Coddington through Bruce Weber, who I had begun to work with a little bit in when he did Italian Vogue shoots in Los Angeles when I was living there. And Grace Coddington was probably the most important person in my career. I would have to really give her everything because she gave me like this incredible opportunity. And I worked with her for so many years. And we, I think, did some very memorable images together.
Yeah.
And it was all this kind of flow of creativity where we all had the same kind of vision, you know, and we were able to just effortlessly execute this vision as a team. You know, Julianne Dees often did the hair and Grace and myself. And then she, you know, I was able to work with some of the greatest photographers in the world, you know, Steven Meisel, Matt and Marcus, Peter Lindbergh, all of these people. And suddenly I was like, what? I just went from, you know, moving to New York when I turned 30 to being so busy all of a sudden. I mean, it didn't happen so quickly, but it was really incredible.
I think it's really amazing to hear somebody at your level talking about stars aligning, because I'm quite sure that luck and fortune had very little to do with it. Your talent was very quickly noted. I remember you previously spoke of Grace Coddington, director of Vogue, getting off a shoot and telling everybody about you. And from there on in, things just exploded for you. But it's still very refreshing that you would put that down to stars aligning and an element of luck.
Oh, I think there's something I've always, I always think that humility and being humble about anything you do is the only way forward, because that's how you're open and that's how you're able to learn more and become better by not thinking you are as good as you're going to be, you know, because that's just not the case, I think, for anyone. We're all learning, and it's all it's all an evolution.
Mm-hmm. But you have remained, you've remained so authentic and so warm, you know, humility aside, you just have a warmth that exists in what seems from the outside a notoriously tough industry, fashion, makeup, the world of publishing. How did you manage to maintain that? Who did you keep around you to protect that?
Oh, thank you, Louise. I think it is a tough industry because on the flip side of, you know, being very busy and constantly traveling and not really having any control over your career or your time, you know, you just don't know when you're going to be confirmed, when you're going to be released. It's all sort of up to this fashion world, and it's not the kindest industry. You know, so you're kind of a little bit in limbo, I think, and it is a tough industry to be in. I think particularly for women who do have this yearning to maybe create a family, you know, and they are maybe more kind of, obviously men have that sensation as well, but I think women innately are homemakers, and so it's hard to feel that you're so out of your, there's nothing you're in control of when it comes to when you're going to work, if you have to miss a wedding, if you have to, you know, just be gone at a whim for 3 weeks, you just don't know. And it's scary to say no to these moments, these opportunities, because you just don't know if they'll come back. So you just feel like you're running in this vicious cycle, which is so incredible. And you get to meet the most extraordinary people and travel to the most incredible places. But at the same time, you do want to have some type of normalcy in your life. So I think having really great friends and having of, you know, just an idea of what you want your life to look like. Because I remember early on, a stylist named Jo McKenna said to me, oh, you're going to be like all the rest of them. You're going to be married to your makeup bag. And I thought, no way, I am not going to be married to my makeup bag. Not a chance. So I met David, you know, who's my husband now, but we met and I had to take a stance when it came to really important jobs that fell over dates that we had arranged to do something. I had to commit to kind of sticking with what we had planned, as opposed to previously when I would just kind of take the job and be running all around the world. But I still felt like I didn't have that sense of being grounded. You know, I was really missing that.
I'm sure there will be a lot of moms listening, very relieved to note that mom guilt exists no matter what your industry is or what the role is. There's always that struggle of wanting to push on professionally, but feeling like you should be with your baby all the time. And it's really tough.
Yeah. And you're really spreading yourself quite thin. Because I remember when I had our firstborn and I was working with Lancome at the time as their global artistic director, which I was there for 5 years and it was incredible. I learned so much and it was just a brilliant experience, but they were, you know, chomping at the bit, waiting for the moment I could travel to France and I needed to bring him with me. And so, you know, I got a doctor's notice that said that he was allowed to travel at 2 months. So, you know, as soon as the day he turned 2 months, I was on a plane to the south of France and my mom came to help me. But it was very hard. I was trying to breastfeed and it wasn't going very well. And then I had all of these interviews back to back and I had so much work on. And I just felt so stressed because I knew, you know, I couldn't just manage to do everything really well. It was like something had to kind of fall short. And it was tough.
That's amazing. I think I probably just about got to the corner shop when my kid was 2 months old. So hats off to you for that. And you've worked with some of the most notable names in Hollywood and beyond, and some of the most iconic cover shoots. What are the standout moments for you?
Ooh, wow.
There are so many. That's probably tricky.
Well, I think that, you know, I just look at some of them and I think, wow, it was just... I can't believe that I was part of some of those when I look back on them. And I even actually forget about all of the ones that I've done. There was a period of time where I did every cover of every major title for at least 3 months consecutively. So it was, I remember being in Italy with my best friend, Ashley Brokaw, and we were on vacation in August. And I remember we were walking past the newsstand and I had done the cover of French Vogue, Italian Vogue, American Vogue, English Vogue, W, and Pop Magazine.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. And I never took it in properly. I was kind of like trying to brush it under the table because I didn't want to seem like I was boasting or, you know, because I was always very sensitive of what other people's positions were. And I didn't want to make anyone feel as if they weren't, you know, doing well or anything like that, because it could easily happen to me the next day. So it was really that kind of, you know, I guess it's really just you learn a lot from this type of industry because it's not super forgiving, you know, but it's a spectacular learning space.
Absolutely. And now Westman Atelier, and it's just, as I said, it's just so beautiful to look at and to wear. Let's talk about, you know, what you wanted to create. What was your vision at the inception of this brand?
So this Westman Atelier really feels like is my calling. You know, I do love being creative and getting my rocks off, painting people's faces and being a part of wonderful, iconic moments. But I do love product development. I love what goes in to products and I love aesthetic. So when I was doing research early on, this is many years ago now, 6 years ago, I felt that really there was a gap in the market when it came to both luxury and clean. You know, I found that it was either natural or a luxury product. And I thought to myself, why can't I find something that speaks to both of those very important aspects of the product? And so, you know, I thought I'm going to try to, you know, that's what Westman Atelier needs to be about, bridging that gap between natural and luxury and surrounding ourselves with really incredible experts who, you know, 'cause it's difficult to actually kind of form your team early on when you don't really know how to find these people, how to source these people. And I knew that we had to have a blacklist. I knew that it had to be rigid. And I knew we had to have an advisor on ingredients because I learned from the get-go that working with labs and chemists, they're so talented and they're also very accustomed to working with ingredients that they're familiar with. So they aren't that happy to sort of venture outside of the box and try to find alternative ingredients that might be safer. Okay. So that was really a big learning curve for me because I didn't know as much as I know now when I started. But I do remember, you know, everyone was trying to convince me that, oh, it's okay. Just 10%, 20% silicones will make the product so much better and it will go on so much nicer. And there'll be this gorgeous slip and all these things. And I knew innately that I didn't want silicones. So I stuck to my guns and I said, no. And I even remember people on our team early on saying, oh, it's fine. Just 15% silicones isn't going to hurt anyone. And I'm so happy that I didn't really have evidence, hard evidence, but I just am so happy that I stuck with my intuition and I relentlessly went for, you know, creating these formulas that were very performance driven, that were as clean as they possibly could be. And that also included skincare benefits at efficacy levels, which means, you know, that oftentimes brands say that they have a certain ingredient, an active ingredient that will do something for you. But oftentimes it's a marketing amount, which it can just be a drop and they're allowed to claim that they have that ingredient.
So it doesn't impact.
Yes. And I was shocked to hear that that's oftentimes the case. And our lab said, oh, it's going to be much more expensive for you to include these ingredients. But I said, I have to. I want to be transparent. I want this to be a transparent brand that people can trust, that it's going to do what we say it's going to do, that it's going to help improve the health of your skin, and it's going to work. I want all of these things, and I'm not going to, settle for second. Yeah. I'm not.
Because as a consumer, really, I think we resign ourselves to makeup doing what makeup traditionally does, and painting our faces, and our skincare then being a separate entity and looking for those active ingredients, when you take off your makeup. But for them to be combined isn't something we're used to. So what active ingredients does Westman Atelier contain?
Well, so we have a number of different active ingredients because we focus on we basically target different areas for depending on what the product is. So for Vital Skin Foundation, for example, is really, I think, the core of our brand, because as a makeup artist, I'm really known for creating this effortless, amplified looking skin. The skin that's glowy, that's just, oh wow, you don't know, you can't put your finger on it, but the person looks well.
You don't see the makeup when you've worked on somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to feel the makeup. I just wanted it to really feel like it's the second skin concept that really is just making the best of what you have. It really, your skin couldn't look better. And so I thought that's what my focus needs to be. And I wanted to create this edited line of product that would, help women to achieve this type of look, And so Vital Skin Foundation, I have rosacea. So I wanted ingredients that would calm and soothe redness and inflammation, with which a lot of us suffer from inflammation. So we found a really beautiful ingredient called phytophingostine, which works to calm and soothe. And then we have camellia oil, which protects you against pollution. We replaced silicones with beautiful coconut oil, lightweight coconut oil that actually is a cell regenerator. Mm-hmm. And we also have a vegetable derived squalene that locks in the moisture. So your skin will be radiant throughout the day, as opposed to after a little while looking kind of dull and like you need a reapplication. So those are some of the key ingredients in the foundation. And then we have several key ingredients in each product. So, the lip suede, for example, is a vegetable-based wax, plant-based wax as opposed to synthetic wax, which is very challenging to maintain the structure. And then we included 16.5% marula oil and 16.5% cold pressed cherry oil and 12.5% marula oil. So it's, serious antioxidant, vitamin C, hydration, and biomimetic peptides for collagen. So there's like, wow. I could keep going, but there's...
It's amazing though. It's magic.
Well, I just think that we deserve better. We really, at this point in life, I think we deserve better. Given what we've gone through in certainly the U.S. for the past several years, we deserve better. We deserve honesty. We deserve integrity, and we deserve kindness. So that's kind of, what we really focus on.
You said it's your calling. You're so evidently passionate about it. It just comes out in the way you speak about this wonderful brand. How has life changed since launching your brand?
Well, it's so exciting to see our little brand grow, and in terms of both SKUs and distribution platforms, it's so fun. Now we're in several stores in Europe, and we have eye categories, we have lip categories, we're expanding on shade ranges, and we have these beautiful, beautiful brushes that are the most exquisite brushes I've ever used. We lose money on them because they're so beautifully made. I'm never going to sacrifice the brushes. That's like an extension of a makeup artist,
Yeah.
That really allows for super refined application and, just all of the products that we have in the pipeline and moving into different categories is so tremendously exciting. Obviously, everything takes a lot longer than it does, for example, in apparel, which is where my husband started. Takes so much more time. You develop something and you think, oh my goodness, I can't wait to share this with everyone. And then it's another 2 or 3 years before you're able to launch it. So it's really a hurry up and wait a long time and hurry up and, you know, and it's also, we're not taking any products off the shelf. It's always completely custom for our brand, both packaging and formula. So knowing that is, I think it's nice for the customer to know how much thought and effort goes into each product, and there's nothing that's unnecessary that's in the product. It's all the cleanest possible ingredients that we can find.
And let's talk about the packaging, because it is possibly the most chic and elegant packaging that you can find in the makeup industry. So what was that process like? And given your husband David's background in design, was he very involved in the creation of the look of Westman Atelier?
Yeah, absolutely. So that, luckily, David and I have always completely agreed when it comes to our home aesthetic, you know, interior design, anything, clothing, we've always been completely aligned. So that's been really serendipitous. And it was actually during a trip to, we were in Paris, and I always have had this affinity in this weak spot for fragrance. You know, I just feel like the storytelling when it comes to fragrance advertising and fragrance packaging, there's just so much more longevity and a really, you can have this emotional connection with a fragrance, you know, because a smell, a scent evokes a feeling inside you. And I think it's all built around this emotional connection. And we talked about it, and I said, you know, I really want to have fragrance be where we look to inspiration for our packaging. And it was really sort of travel fragrance packaging that started the whole kind of concept of the caps, you know, the click and sticks. I prefer working with foundation sticks as a beginning, because I feel that you have more control. And that's how I learned to do makeup. I wanted everything to be super intuitive to me. I wanted it to be easy for women and feel intuitive and empower them. I didn't want anything that was going to be complicated or take too much time and not be so fussy. I wanted it to be, you know, a really nice moment in your day. And I do think that the packaging needs to be beautiful and aesthetically pleasing and feel like it's a special product, you know, that you're using. And there's the all around, you know, I wanted the packaging and the formula to sort of harmonize. And I didn't want one to outdo the other. And, you know, when we launched our Westman Atelier in 2018 with Barney's, David and I went to them early days and said that we want the product to be refillable. And they told us that that's not going to work. That's not our business model. That's not our customer. So they would heavily advise against that. And having heard, you know, their stance on it, we really couldn't afford to take that chance, especially since we funded the brand ourselves. So now, of course, we are working towards becoming refillable, and it's not going to be immediate, but we are working on early 2021. Our compacts will be refillable. That will be the first thing. And, you know, it's a big commitment, but we're absolutely, you know, we are mm-hmm. in for the long haul. And we believe that sustainability, everybody needs to join forces and support one another in this new approach. And we all have to reframe our brains.
That's so aligned with the integrity of your brand. You know, you spoke in, you know, so much about the clean products and to have that ode to say sustainability as well really just lends itself to what Westman Atelier is about, you know. And I think that is something that the consumer is more and more conscious of, and I think it's really important. So when you spoke about fragrance then, I completely believe that, you know, Westman Atelier is a brand that could house so much more than makeup and skincare. Is fragrance in the pipeline, or what are your hopes for the expansion of the brand?
Well, so we have I do love fragrance, and we're you know, talking about little things here and there. But we have to always find these alternative ingredients that will allow me to develop something that I feel proud of and I don't want to, you know, sacrifice.
Is that harder when it comes to fragrance? Is it harder to find clean products for fragrance? Is it more complicated?
Oh, yeah. You know, fragrance is the one area that's so gray, you know, that people are allowed to have this proprietary blend of components that make up the fragrance. And a lot of those ingredients can be very toxic. And so what you have to choose from is much more limiting when you're talking fragrance. It's not, you don't have this vast library of options. It's very restricted when you have a blacklist such as ours. And so then you have to be creative and you have to work with really brilliant people who are like-minded and who are interested in, you know, the more sustainable and non-toxic, mm-hmm. Route. So we have very exciting, launches coming. I can't say too much, but we do, you know, I'm also a big fan of skincare. So there might be something around that.
Lovely. Well, it's very exciting. So tell me, if somebody is entering the world of Westman Atelier for the first time, where should they begin?
So that's a great question. I actually always envisioned Westman Atelier as sort of a wardrobe, a for your makeup, you know, like this would be your makeup wardrobe. And I wanted to have fewer options, but great choices, joyful choices. Mm-hmm. And I think that I kind of just like the idea of having these steps and having everything you need for these steps that I take initially to create this skin and then we add on it, you know, because when you have a great canvas, you know, when your complexion is beautiful and radiant, and I don't have beautiful skin, I have rosacea. So I've learned that you can really fake it. You know, you can visualize what it is you would like to have and you can make it happen pretty much. So I think that, you know, getting, I would say, a Vital Skin foundation, getting familiar with how beautiful the texture is and how easy it is to use. The super loaded tinted highlights are gorgeous. The mascara is, you know, 97% natural and it's full of beautiful ingredients, you know, chicory root extract and carnauba oil. And we've replaced all of these toxic ingredients that are very commonly found in mascara, especially.
And I think the scary thing is people don't know that there are so many toxic ingredients when we're using something. It's not something we analyze too closely.
No, because I think we're also willing to turn our backs on some of this information because we like the product and we're familiar with it and we're afraid to try something new because we know that it works. And so I think that we actually need to do our research and we have to know that mascara is one of the scariest categories in terms of hidden toxic ingredients. There can be ingredients found in antifreeze and gasoline. There's several very questionable ingredients. And when we actually did a deep dive into our mascara formula and several other competitors, we were shocked to learn some of the ingredients and what they actually were. When we asked our chemist, we have a green chemist who is our advisor and is on our board. And she kind of translated the chemical name to a understandable name. And none of us in our office wore mascara for 3 months after that until ours were ready. So that was like, oof, you know, because your eyes, you wash your makeup and then inevitably you're going to get some of that product under your eyelid. And
of course, you wouldn't put eye drops into your eyes without knowing what was in there. So it's amazing that you would use mascara so close to your eye. That's incredible and scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really, you know, I love the iPods. I love that we were able to replace the talc and silicones. And, you know, I just really love it's hard for me to say, you know, because I'm so partial to in the look. Beautiful. It's super wearable.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, four different shades. So, and the brushes. Oh, Gorgeous.
The brushes are your baby. And you know, it's so great that you're in Ireland now, but you have a lot of Irish friends. So do you notice any difference in beauty trends amongst them or versus your American friends?
I mean, I feel like my Irish friends have the most gorgeous, luminous skin. I don't know what it is. I feel like their approach to beauty is they love beauty. The Irish women, and they're curious and they love kind of, you know, dressing for an occasion, which I so appreciate. And I actually love that too. I'm sitting here in my heels, fully made up, even though this is a podcast.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think it's such a nice, it really elevates your mood, and it's special to feel as if you're, you know, you have a change in your day-to-day routine that you're doing. Different, even if it's for yourself, it's a confidence booster.
Do you notice that, you know, with the pandemic, our approach to skincare and skincare benefiting makeup is surging? Do you think we need that little bit more luxury?
We've gone through various stages of this pandemic, and I think there was the sweatpants wearing stage that everyone had when no one was, you know, maybe thinking about makeup or things like that. And I think that now we've maybe shifted a little bit more toward focusing on wellness and spending more time on routines that make us, you know, that improve our well-being. If it's exercise, if it's what we're eating, what we're drinking, our skincare routines, our makeup routines, our, you know, all of these things that help us feel better, since we have been living in such uncertainty. And I think we're doing more research, and since we have more time at home and we're not commuting as much to work at the moment, and we just do have those extra moments where we can kind of look into things that will improve our health and our well-being, and spend a little bit more time on that. So I think that speaks to every aspect of our routine, if it's skincare, makeup, hair, fragrance. You know, I lit my Francisco Costa Brazil candle, you know, to be on, you know, prior to the podcast, because I wanted it to feel calming. And
yeah,
you know, so I think there's a lot of ulterior, you know, I guess just things that we can do, little things that make us feel good.
I know. And I think we need that now. And especially with Christmas approaching as well, we want to be kinder to ourselves after that hell of a year. So if somebody is getting ready for Christmas, what do you think the best Westman Atelier gift would be to give somebody of all ages and skin tones?
The iPods are festive. Maybe the iPods, the mascara, and super loaded tinted highlight, maybe in any shade, actually. But I think anything that just makes it frames your face. It makes you look as if you're a little bit, you've seen some sun, you know, it's kind of like the Peau de Soleil or Peau de Rosé. It's a nice addition to your skin, you know, looking as if you're super healthy and glowy.
Well, Gucci, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. We're so delighted that Westman Atelier is now available on brenthomas.com. And it was just a delight to have some time to chat to you today. So thanks a million.
Oh, gosh, thank you so much. I really, Louise and everybody who made this happen, I'm so thrilled to be with Brown Thomas. And it's such an iconic store. And, you know, we went to visit years ago was it 2 years ago, I think, or a year and a half ago, we went for a rugby match and we went to visit Brown Thomas. And I remember the weather being so, so beautiful. It was sunny and crisp, and we stopped and had a Guinness, and then we went into Brown Thomas, and I thought one day it would be so
special
to launch with Brown Thomas. So I couldn't be more excited for this. And I hope that the Irish gals really, really love our makeup. And
they already are. Honestly, there's an awful lot of excitement about Westman Atelier, and it's a special brand and it has a special place in Brown Thomas. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning into the Brown Thomas podcast, and we will have another on the way very soon.